from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Royteam.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday, and thank you for listening to the G and Ursula Show. I'd usually say good morning, Ursula, but Ursula's out today. She will be back tomorrow, don't you worry. But filling in for Ursula, our faithful, our loyal main man, Dre's. Good morning, Dre's.
Morning, bruh. How you doing, man?
I'm good. I still got the red house. I was singing that jingle the entire time during the break. If you missed the first hour of the G and Ursula Show and you want to hear what we're talking about with the red house, then you have to go and listen to the 9 o'clock hour later on the podcast. It's a blast. All right, let's get to it. Let's talk a little bit more about Pierce County Sheriff Eric Troyer and the 911 call on a newspaper carrier.
Hey, it's Troyer.
What can I do for you?
I'm at 27th and Deidre in Tacoma, North End, about two blocks from my house, and I caught some in my driveway who just threatened to kill me, and they blocked him in. He's here right now.
Okay.
And he's in some sort of gray car, and he was in my driveway, in my neighbor's driveway. And he knows who I am, and he threatened to kill me, and I got him blocked in.
Okay, stop right there. I just want to make sure I'm not putting words in anyone's mouth. I wanted to replay that because so that we are crystal clear on what was said in the very beginning of that call. Mm-hmm. There's no moving the goalposts. There's no putting words in the mouth. That is exactly what was said at 2 o'clock in the morning. Now, we now have body cam footage from the Tacoma police from their interactions with the newspaper carrier.
Hey, keep your hands where we can see him. Hands on the steering wheel.
Is that what you're coming over here for?
Yeah, that's why we're coming over here, okay?
I'm suspicious, huh?
No, because he called saying that.
I don't care what he calls okay. for. He's following me.
Okay, we'll figure
don't
everything
out. Talk to him. I don't we will need you to figure out nothing. I am working.
We will figure
I
everything
out. I am working.
Okay.
I'm a black male in a white neighborhood, and I'm working.
That has nothing to do with that.
Yeah, it does.
No.
He's following me.
Okay.
He's following him, is what he said at that time. But I'm quite sure no matter what this alleged suspect at the time says as they approach, there was a call by the police, the sheriff, to say, hey, there's a threat in my driveway. Dre's, let's discuss.
You know, I want to go all the way back to the beginning of when I first got this, right? Like, and I want to talk to people who out there who I know most people have decided. You're either he's guilty of something, he's not guilty of something. Most people just pick a side and defend people for no reason. Right. But to those persons who are out there who are genuinely listening, going, I don't know what happened. I want to wait to reserve judgment. Let's look at the facts and look at the information. First off, though, when we talk about as a society, we want to weed out bad police officers, et cetera. You have to be open to the idea that at some point it's going to be someone you like, you love, you know, who's going to have might be the bad seed. You got to be open to that. That way you don't find yourself defending someone unnecessarily. Now, I know who we're dealing with. Troyer is no, you know, this is not his first go around. And when I say his first go around, he's a media man. He got out in front of this off top. He came out and was just, I didn't do anything wrong. And I mean, I've never seen someone come out and really get on top of it once the story broke, start talking. It reminded me of like Rafael Palmeiro, right? Remember in baseball?
I did not use steroids.
Yeah. Right? And when he does it, it makes you so confident and you believe him. I believed him, right? But let's look at what he's accused of, right? Did he misuse his authority, number one? Number two, did he commit a crime? That's what the investigation is trying to uncover. Did he misuse his authority? Did he commit a crime? Did he deviate from professional standards? Which, oh boy. And then number three, honesty. Is there a pattern? Well, we already discussed in March 2020, that Troyer had an issue with Manuel Harris, right, where he echoes comments from other officers, which turned out to not be true. So if we're talking about pattern, well, there's a pattern right now of not being honest, right? So that doesn't help him when we start talking about investigation. And then on top of that, when I look at everything in this. It's just, it's 2 a.m. and you follow a guy. Why don't you just call the police? You follow him in an unmarked car. What did you want to happen? Your face is not a badge, right? You are following someone at 2 a.m. who is doing their job. When we're talking burden of proof of suspicion, that's on you. It's not on him to defend himself. It's on you to prove that he's actually doing something suspicious. So you follow him in an unmarked car. Now, when we start talking about deviating from professional standards, you didn't pick up the phone and call the police, right? Immediately, you decided to follow the person. Then when you called the police, you're saying, well, this guy, I feel like he threatened my life. We just heard him say he threatened to kill me. Nothing about this man's demeanor even says remotely he threatened. And why? Motive. What's the motive to threaten to kill you? We know now what he was doing. He's been doing it for a long time. The guy doesn't have a track record of killing people. So what you're telling me is this man was driving, doing his paper route, and someone was following him, and he said, you know what? I'm going to kill this guy. Really? There's no record of him living a lifestyle that says I'm going to kill anyone. So he just singled you out for what? Right? It is much more likely the opposite is true. You're following him. You made a call. You're harassing him. And for that reason, I always say that leadership has to be held to a higher standard. Troyer is a leader. There are some mistakes leaders don't get to make. They are definitely able to make mistakes. There are certain ones they don't get to make. He does not get to make this mistake. I'm sorry. It is the wrong mistake. You cannot give a distressing call that someone is threatening to kill you at 2 a.m. You can't do that. You can't. I'm sorry. There's no room. There's no... I apologize. I forgive you. However, you do not need to be able to wield that type of power. This could have went really, really wrong. Thank God it did not. And yes, I'm not the idiot. I know what it's like. What I heard the tape and I heard what that young man said where he's like, I'm a black man in a white neighborhood. I get it. He's not a PR guy. He's not a lawyer. It's 2 a.m. He's been harassed. He's frustrated and he's screaming what he sees may be obvious to him. Should that statement have been said? Probably not. What does that matter to everything else going on? It matters not. So I'm sorry. I could go on and on with my rant, but that's how it looks to me.
I have a question. Chef, yes. I would like to go back up to the top, please. And I want to go back to the first call. And you guys might say, but gee, you already played that before. Yeah, but I got another question about this. Can you please go back to when he called? With the very first thing he said, go right back to that, please.
Hey, it's Troyer.
What can I do for you?
I'm at 27th and Deidre in Tacoma, North End. About 2 blocks from my house, and I caught some in my driveway who just threatened to kill me, and they blocked him in. He's here right now.
Okay.
And he's in some sort of gray car, and he was in my driveway, in my neighbor's driveway, and he knows who I am, and he threatened to kill me, and I got him blocked in.
So, Chef Dre's, was the sheriff asleep? Was he in his house and the paper delivery guy pulled in his driveway? And then if he was, maybe he was asleep and then he came downstairs. And then when he came downstairs, did the paper delivery guy say, hey, I'm going to kill you? Real quick. The paper delivery guy, this is his route. He's never had a problem before. But on this night at 2 o'clock in the morning, he's like, you know what? I'm going to pull into this driveway. So let me ask that question again. Chef Dre's, was the sheriff asleep?
According to the sheriff's statements, I believe he said he was up watching television at the time. It's unclear from his statement in the 911 call whose driveway he actually pulled into, because the sheriff is not a subscriber of the Tacoma News Tribune. Okay. So he said his driveway, neighbor's driveway.
So he was watching. So he was watching TV. And then he goes and gets in his car, and then he goes to follow the guy. Now, I just want to just say this. If a sheriff of not just Pierce County, But if any town in America radios in to say, this alleged suspect just threatened my life. I'm the son of law enforcement. I've been led to believe that is an accurate statement. The police are going to come. And what are the police going to do when they come? Yeah. They're going to come and investigate that. And I would want them to arrest the perpetrator that has threatened the sheriff.
Yeah.
Now, Altheimer was pretty upset, but I want to go down. The police then ask Altheimer to step out of his vehicle.
Okay, can I explain it?
Bro, I don't need nothing to be explained to me. I'm being followed. Okay. He called the cops. Congratulations.
Yes.
I'm coming to and from a house. Ooh, he's committing a crime. He's black.
No one's
saying black.
Okay.
He's black.
I'm going to explain why.
I'm doing my f***ing paper route.
Okay, I understand that. I see all the papers in your car.
Yeah, okay? Congratulations.
He just called saying that someone threatened his life. That's why we're here, okay?
Yeah, I threatened his life because I walked up to him and asked him why he's following me.
You're not under arrest. Step out of the car.
Stop right there. I'm confused. Hold on. Wait. Can you please go back to that? The officer just said that the sheriff said that this guy threatened him. And then the police officer says, you're not under arrest. I don't get it. Why is he not under arrest, Chef?
Well, not only that, but does that sound like an officer who is concerned for the life of a fellow officer? It does not sound like it to me. And it also sounds quite clear that from about 0.5 seconds worth of inspection of Altheimer's vehicle, it's quite clear that there are newspapers in the back. And had the sheriff actually approached the car or just, actually followed him, like he said, and saw another newspaper go out the window, he would have known exactly what was going on.
My next question. Newspaper delivery. Mm-hmm. Have you ever met one before? Most of the time, back in the day when I would have the newspaper delivery, it was usually a parent that was driving while the kid, right, would have the paper route. Mm-hmm. Some of you listening right now, you probably were that kid or you were that parent. Has there ever been something to where a paper delivery person just decides on a whim they're going to threaten the sheriff at 2 a.m? Why? What is the motive for that? And so people keep wondering why. And by the way, ever since I've been talking about this, I have not brought up race one time. I'm not bringing up race. I'm bringing up the fact that police officers responded because a sheriff was threatened. And that person, that alleged suspect that was supposed to do the threatening, did not get arrested. And you can hear the police officers say, you're not going to be arrested.
Yeah.
I just don't understand.
For those who might be wondering why it's so appalling to us, it's when an officer makes this call, there's only like one call that's more distressing, and that's like mudslides or something like that. When an officer makes this type of a distressing call, officers from everywhere are going to start moving in direction, and they should. We should protect our officers. We absolutely should protect our officers. So when you make that call, it better be something. You cannot just make that call off of nothing. And then I think what's really sad is the quote at the end where Altheimer is asking like, hey, what's going to happen to him for lying? And the officer's response is, I'm not even going to blow smoke up your you-know-what. You know what I mean? Like, nothing's going to happen. And that's the sad statement. That's the sad statement that people find themselves in. G's not going to choose to use race. I am. That's the statement that is sad to African Americans in this country, because we're going, well, what's going to happen to them? That's what we've been saying nationally across this country. What's going to happen, though? But what's going to happen? And the answer has been, we're not going to blow smoke up your you-know-what. Nothing.
So did he threaten him or not? Yes or no? Did the newspaper delivery guy threaten the sheriff? Yes or no? I'm just confused. What?
Funny part, I'd like people to please text us in and answer that question. Forget all this commentary. That is a great question, G. Do you believe that he threatened the officer, yes or no? Based on what you're hearing, the facts. Forget our emotion. Forget our different angles and spins and where we land. Did he threaten him? And what's cold about it is this young man didn't even really want to have this conversation. He didn't really want to go public with this. As it came out, he seemed more frustrated by it. But, this is sad, man.
Well, maybe I can really answer that for you, G, because, frankly, if there's a car that's following me at close distance at 2 o'clock in the morning through neighborhoods, and I stop and I get out of my car, I'm probably going to have some words before I recognize who that person is, because Altimer does say that he does recognize who Troyer is once he got out of the car. I'm probably saying, like, what are you doing? You know, back up in some very choice words, that sort of thing. As to whether or not he actually threatened his life, totally unclear, but I could see having extremely harsh words for whoever was doing that, because let's be frank, if someone is following you at 2 in the morning when there are zero other cars on the road, you have absolutely no reason to believe that that person has anything but poor intent for you, especially if they're driving an unmarked car.
I want to go back to that question. Hold on. Let's put all the commentary, all of it to bed.
Mm-hmm.
Simple. Yes or no? Did the newspaper guy threaten the sheriff? Hold on, real quick. If the answer is no, if your answer is no, then there was a lie. If the answer is yes, G, that newspaper delivery guy did threaten the sheriff. If he did threaten the sheriff, then why would you not want to keep someone like that off the streets to have the potential to harm someone in our community? You didn't even arrest him. You didn't even make a police report. I'm confused. So if the answer is no, there was a lie. If the answer is yes, he did threaten the police officer, then why would you not arrest him? That person who did that should not be in our community. If you are courageous enough to threaten a sheriff, then don't you think that you are courageous enough to do something even more? I just don't understand that part. So you understand what I'm saying, Dres? It's either yes or no.
I'm grabbing the baton and running even a little bit further with you. Troyer should be sounding the drum. He should be like, that man threatened me, right? He should be saying that. He should be right. And not only that, why didn't the officers who were there investigating, why didn't they find that, yeah, he is threatening, or he looks threatening, or he's doing something threatening? Why didn't they arrest him and take him to jail if he actually threatened him? Why this is important, people, the last thing I'll say is because if that young man did not threaten him, then this is a grave misuse of power.
You ever hear of a police officer not believing another police officer in a serious situation?
No.
No.
You haven't walked away?
No.
No. Coming up next, United Airlines wants to hire pilots, wait for it, without any flying experience. Stick around for the next G and Ursula with Dres. It's the G and Ursula Show. Dres is filling in for Ursula. Ursula will be back tomorrow. Real quick before we move on to our next topic, ever since we've been talking about the circumstances that are surrounding the Sheriff Ed Troyer phone call where the newspaper delivery guy at 2 in the morning, I believe that this was the best conversation we ever had about it, and here's why. Because the texts that have come in have been very good, right, and very good on both sides. Like, instead of trying to attack him, and actually there's police officers that have been texting in, former police officers that have been texting in, and I respect that because you get to learn and understand. Because if there's one thing I've learned about law enforcement, right? First of all, you all are different. Your experiences are all different. Also, you have seen a lot. And so some of your experiences are things that we can learn from. And the problem has been over the years, that's the problem. Nobody in law enforcement will come on the record and talk about these things. We have to go off the record to find out and learn, if that makes sense. So I truly respect you guys that are texting in and giving us your expertise. Thank you. All right, Dre's. Now that travel is starting to rebound, by the way, brother, I'm glad you didn't fly into SeaTac because SeaTac has been crazy. Lines off the hook. But now that travel is rebounding, check this out. United Airlines plans to hire and train 5,000 pilots. Okay, cool. Including some with no flying experience. Getting a license and enough experience takes a lot of time, 1,500 hours, and money, of course. It's estimated that it costs most pilots about $100,000. Question, Dre's, would you trust a pilot who just trained on the job? By the way, United does have their own flight academy. Would you trust a pilot, Dre's?
No, I wouldn't. So honestly, like, I'm that guy going, what could go wrong? Lives? Hello? No, I'm not trusting this. Like, come on, man. Like, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And that's what this looks like, right? We have a system in place. And I know this, the heart of this really goes back to restrictions and the systems that we have in this country. Where do we need to tighten them? Where do we need to loosen them? Right. So if we were talking about, let's say we're talking welfare, right? I think we need to loosen our restrictions on welfare. People go through way too many hoops to be able to get food stamps and things like that. Right. But if it's labeling food, maybe we need to tighten the restrictions so people really know what they're eating. When it comes to something like this, we don't need to change anything. We definitely don't need to be loosening anything. The idea that, oh, well, we don't think it takes all of that. That's the basic sentiment. Anyone could do this. Nah, maybe you're right, but maybe you're wrong. And the very fact that you could be wrong says it's not worth it, because what could go wrong is, as Sawant would say, catastrophic.
Well, let's spread this out a little bit. And, Chef, you join in on this conversation because this is your question. Should more jobs, and careers have a zero experience required entry point?
I'm gonna say yes, and Dre's, I think you're absolutely 100% wrong that a pilot with zero experience could learn on the job at their own academy. One, would United put into place pilots that they did not believe were qualified? Like, clearly these people have to pass some kind of a training. And two, it's incredibly expensive to become a pilot. I think it's like about 1,500 hours you need of flight experience and about $100,000 worth of flight training. Now, to be clear, part of what United is doing is they're trying to hire half these people as women and minorities. They do want to diversify their pilot pool, which is an applaudable move. And I think if you actually want to change the way that this country looks, the way it works in many careers and professions, you do need to be able to have on-the-job training. If Frank Abagnale and Colton Harris Moore could figure out how to fly a plane from manuals, I'm fully confident that United can train their own pilots.
I'm going to simplify, guys. I'm going to show you guys a little bit of hypocrisy, okay?
Okay.
No, I don't want you doing this right here, bringing in inexperienced pilots. No. But if you do, can you not tell me? Because here's the truth. Here's the truth. Maybe you flying enthusiasts, and maybe some of you guys that really like to pay attention. But when is the last time that you got on a plane, Dre's, and said, who's the pilot today? Where you from? Where'd you go to school? When'd you get your pilot license? None of us do that. We're just thinking about getting to Vegas, or we're just thinking about getting to Cancun, or wherever we're trying to get to our destination.
Objection, Your Honor. Relevant. What do you got? You just said, we're just trying to get to Vegas. Key part, I'm trying to get to Vegas. When I get on a plane, I don't go and check who the pilot is because I'm trusting a system that's in
place. You trust in the system. So you don't care enough. You don't care. But you getting somebody else. Hey, Dre's, we getting ready to go to drive to Boise, Idaho. First question you ask, who driving? You'll never ask who flying, but you ask who driving. Mm-hmm. You think Alaska is driving? I mean, flying? You think United is flying? No, there is a human being that is doing the flying, and you don't even care. As a matter of fact, you're so trusting of the plane, you don't even have to see their face.
Look, Dre's, commercial trucking companies already do this all the time. There are plenty of commercial trucking places that say, no experience required, no problem, you can get hired, we'll train you up. And look, someone driving a big rig, a semi out on the roads, they have way more potential for killing people generally than an airplane pilot does. I mean, we know
true.
When that happens. Yes, they do.
Y'all can be mad
They're
at me all you want
an
to.
Inch I'm... of all of us all of the time.
Let me tell you something. You can be mad at me all I want to. Now listen to this, guys. Mm-hmm. If I want some ribs, I want somebody in some open-toed sandals and a Bluetooth in their ear with a toothpick in their mouth. That's who I want making my ribs. Who do I want flying for me? I want flying for me. I want somebody that is retired Air Force. You see what I'm saying? Or retired here, was in the Air Force there, was a fighter pilot. Oh, baby. If it's a fighter pilot, I am chilling. There are just certain prerequisites that I kind of like. Am I judgy? Yeah, probably so. Should I be this way? Probably not, but I am. How about this? Let's just do me a favor. Just don't tell me. Just don't tell me if the person...
No!
Don't tell me.
Listen, and Chef, I'm all for United diversifying the workforce, but this just isn't the way.
I'm surprised you're still coming down on the side of gatekeeping, but okay.
Good stuff, guys. Great conversation. We do scenarios next. You guys are listening to the G and Ursula Show with Brother Dre's hanging out. It is the G and Ursula Show. Ursula is out today. Don't worry, she will be back tomorrow. Dre's is filling in, and of course, coming up at 11:06, we will do agree to disagree. But right now, we're going to do scenarios brought to you by Farrah.com.
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what's the scenario?
My wife and I often take care of her nieces and nephews. They're cute kids, and we have fun with them. And it gives her sister some free time. She's a single mom and kind of stressed. So last weekend, the kids were over, and my wife had to run some errands. So I was watching them and decided, you know what? Let me teach them how to play Monopoly. They're 9 and 10, so they're old enough to get the game, right? Well, they didn't win. Of course I did. I mean, it's Monopoly. Anyways, my 9-year-old niece threw a hissy fit. She stormed out and said she never wanted to play the stupid game again. I talked to her and calmed her down and told her that it's a hard game, but it's something that you will get the understanding of later on in life, and it'll be fun. Trust me, you'll play with your kids. I didn't think anything of it until yesterday. So check this out. My wife's sister called and screamed at me for shaming her kids by teaching them a game and not letting them win. She called me arrogant, egotistical, and wasn't sure she wanted me alone with them ever again. Seriously. When did it become a thing that kids had to win every game every time? I don't think it teaches them anything to let them win. Am I wrong here? 98973 is the State Roofing text line. What do you got, Drace?
Oh, boy. So, no, you're not wrong. You're absolutely not wrong. Where you are wrong, you're wrong in places and spaces. Poor judgment. There are certain games where... You don't have to let kids win, and then there's certain games where you do. Monopoly is one where if it's someone's first time and they're that young, you have to make it fun, or they may never re-engage the game or the concept. for me, I'm more looking at it like that. Like, man, I'd want you to re-engage Monopoly. And if you terrorize or smash the kids, then they're never going to re-engage Monopoly. So that's one. But beyond that, your overall point, no, this isn't your problem. This is her problem in the way she's raising her children. Her children need to be able to learn to take losses. It's a part of life. If we're playing basketball, I'd have took the kid out there, let them get from playing to 11. I'll let you get to 10, and then I'll run off 11 straight on you. Do whatever I want to do. End of the day, I want to teach you to learn how to compete and be competitive, and you don't always have to win. This is not your problem. It's hers. Dust your shoulders off, like Jay-Z said, and keep it moving. What's up, Chef?
Yeah, she went over the top, obviously, like, you know, calling you borderline abusive for winning a game of Monopoly. That's ridiculous. At the same time, you're playing with kids. There is only one strategy to Monopoly. Maybe the kids haven't learned it yet. Clearly you have. And it's just buy everything that you land on. And if you're lucky enough to land on the right properties, you will win the game. There is absolutely nothing wrong with letting a kid win. In fact, I advocate for it more. And here's why. Do you want kids to learn? Do you want them to learn that they should be discouraged in every new thing that they try? Or do you want to teach them that it is safe and okay for them to try new things? Because don't get me wrong. Like, I have a son, and any sort of game that we play, I could destroy him in, with the exception of the memory games. He crushes me at that. But I don't, because I want him to experience new things. I want him to find the joy in learning that and to actually try things. So, yeah, you should let kids win some of the time.
He's a rookie. He is a rookie. You don't play these games, and you don't do these things with other people's kids. You see, my kids, destroyed them when they were young. In any and everything. Why? Because that's life. And then when they got older, and now they can beat dad, okay, I'm back off. But when it's other people's kids, and you guys know what I'm talking about. You ever have, like, your sister-in-law bring the kids over, and them kids kind of bad, and you looking at them kids like, boy, if you was my child, I wouldn't. See, that's why I don't really, and it's other people's kids, I leave it alone. So Monopoly game, I'd have stayed out of it. You let the kids play themselves. You teach them how to play. Play with each other. I'm telling you.
You're not playing Monopoly with the... So you wouldn't go outside...
No, because I want to destroy... Because I want to win. Because I want to win.
So this ain't about the kids. This is about you.
Absolutely, it's about me.
This is about you.
Yes, and this is about... I know... If there's one... I know how sensitive people get about their kids. I'm telling... Yeah. Somebody listening right now is like, gee, you are preaching right now. Because you're probably going through the same situation. You probably got your neighbor's kids, your sister's kids, your sister-in-law's kids. And there's always something. They come to your house, they jump on your couch, they don't take their shoes off, and you really want to tell them about themselves. But if you say one thing to somebody else's kids, people think you are this bad person. That's why I just leave it alone.
Okay.
And I don't want no other body's kids in my house. Get out of my house.
I'm gonna push back on both of you guys. To you, G, I push back and I go, I had an uncle who used to play hoop with me every now and again, and I loved it. I ain't gonna front, right? He beat me a lot. And I eventually beat him, but the fact that he actually played with me, there was something about it that I just loved, and I enjoyed the fact that he would take that moment out to play with me. To you, Chef, I would say you don't lose to the kids. I will say you give them a taste of some victory. Like I said, if I'm playing hoop, I'll let you get to 10, but you're not going to get 11. Uh-uh.
Coming up next, the FBI probes match fixing in Counter-Strike esports. Should the FBI be investigating this? We talk about that next. Gene Ursula with Drake.